This is a production of Cornell University.
Can all representatives please get to their seats? This meeting has been called to order. That's happening. Cool. Thank you. Gina, is Margaret here to take the role? We need to do the roll call.
Yep,
that's right. Oh, okay, right there. Okay. Margaret, can you call the roll, please?
You gotta say it loud.
Daddy.
Mariah.
Joseph Anderson.
Here.
Dale Barbaria.
Here.
Colin
Benedict. Cool. He was here.
He's here.
Okay. Dude, chill. Colin. He's here. Here.
Omar.
Here.
John.
Here.
Osai.
Here.
Brad.
I thought Matt was
here.
There are 28 members present. We'll be moving into approval of the minutes. If everyone could take a couple minutes to look at March 14th minutes. There's been a motion to approve. There's been a second. Is there any dissent?
I dissent.
Everyone dissent.
Just one more minute. Sorry.
I accept his dissent.
Okay, it's all good.
J1 revokes his dissent.
Move to approve.
There's been a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor, please raise your placards. All those against, all those abstaining. This motion is approved. We'll be moving into open microphone.
If any member of the community would like to discuss something not on the agenda, you can come up to the table now. I'm going to say we're closing over the microphone.
We'll be moving into announcements and reports, Dale.
The room, President David and I approved two funding requests, $400 to Relay for Life, the American Cancer Society event, and $200 to the Cornell Astronomical Society for Uranus Day. If there's any members of the Assembly that would like to object to these funding approvals, now it's time.
With that, we will be moving into business of the day. Before we do that, Omar, feel free to go ahead and start setting up if you want. I'm going to hand this over to the parliamentarian for some notes on today's meeting.
Hey, everybody. So, this is 36 is the body resolution, which is meant to express a formal opinion of our federal community. So, as part of that, the community is given two votes, which will be incorporated into the final vote tally. So, to collect the votes of the community, we first have to verify that you're an undergraduate of Cornell. So, we'll have myself and my colleague, Michelle, at that table over there, who will verify your status as an undergraduate and make your vote yes, no, or abstention. And we'll also have someone in the lobby out there who will take the votes of people who didn't get a slot in the room. As the urban voting starts, we will announce what the final counts are, and a similar majority will be given. In total voting numbers is the number of yeses outweighs the number of no's. Or if the number of yeses outweighs the number of no's, then the resolution passes. However, if the number of abstentions outweighs the number of yeses, then the resolution fails. Please call me to that table or to our colleague in line if you'd like to vote as a community. Thank you.
Point of inquiry, that this process in the chair has already called for a vote at a specific time.
No. We're going to assume that members of the community are here because they have most likely already decided their opinion on whether or not they want to support this resolution.
And does that mean their votes will still count if you don't vote today?
There will be a vote today.
So the chair saw the vote. Is there a general time?
Before
6:30. Before 6:30.
I was going to give my whole little spiel beforehand, but I guess we'll just do it now. So today, yep. Do you want to do your point of order now? Yeah. The resolution is business of the day. A vote will be.
So it's happening. They're going to challenge it as a censor document because of all the stuff.
Okay.
Point of information. Was it the most common to define the resolution as a sense of the body?
The resolution was submitted as a sense of the body.
Point, question of privilege. Do the most common resolution 36 still have the privilege to define what category of the resolution is?
No, they do not.
Point of order, do people in favor of the nation?
The parliamentarian.
Point of order, Article 3, Section 10, Clause 2 of the Student Assembly bylaws say the responsibility of the parliamentarian to classify new actions brought up in the ethics categories, and that only applies to new actions.
I mean, you're the one that has it in front of you, so you probably know. Okay. Can we look into that?
Yeah, no, that's what it says.
Yeah. So what do we do?
Well, so it's already, it was defined and defined. All right, well, given that it's not a new action, we have other responsibility in the parliamentarian, can I request to the chair to allow the post-mortem to deny our resolution
for information? No. That's
a motion to overrule the decision of the chair.
Okay. It's a new action, it's not the same thing as what
But he's just trying to overrule the classification.
I know.
Yeah. So yeah. Julian didn't change the classification, so Julian didn't change the
classification. Yeah. So we want to change. Okay, Julian, I will be referring to the parliamentarian.
One of the duties of the parliamentarian is to advise the visual recommendation regarding parliamentary procedures that the student assembly requested. I would recommend that the power of the parliamentarian to make a decision regarding the classification of a resolution during executive extended, given the fact that there are no other processes in place to determine that.
Good information. What specific lines in the bylaws of the Green give the parliamentarian that authority?
The law is 202.
I don't know
about the bylaws, but.
I would say that that doesn't have any action. And it seems like this is a decision of the chair to take that recommendation from parliamentarian, but I am making a formal motion to overrule the decision of the chair. And I think this is a discussion that the Assembly as a whole should have had too many members talk about the idea of how it should play out, and it should at least fall on the Assembly to decide how it would play out.
It's arbitrary to me that you are engaging in a parliamentary procedure. Now we're under the district of parliamentary to say that by our engagement, that's not your approval to the Assembly.
Well, it also says that the parliamentary engaged recommendations to the Assembly, but it is a decision that the chair can decide how to do it.
He's got a motion for it.
So here's the deal. I would have appreciated having this conversation beforehand in like a friendly way, because this just makes it like already antagonistic with our relationship right now. Okay, well, oh, are you bringing this up to me as well? So the chair's decision is that we will be maintaining it as a sensitive body of resolution, because that is how this has been presented. This is how it was discussed last week, and nothing was said to me as an individual from your sponsors of this resolution. Nothing was said to me, no request was made, no discussion was had. The fact that you're bringing it up at this meeting and this, like, it seems a little unprofessional right now, the way that it's being done, in my opinion, right? Like, I wish, guys, no, I don't think you guys should be, like, cheering or booing or anything. Like, no one in the crowd should be doing that. But with that in mind, I'm going to maintain this the way it is, and if you want to overrule me as chair, you can make that motion.
Okay. And just for clarification, I wasn't under the impression that it was discussed at the exec meeting.
It was discussed at exec because members of exec wanted to have that discussion. It was not discussed at exec because co-sponsors of the resolution wanted it changed.
Okay, well, then I will make a formal motion to overrule this to the chair, and hopefully we'll have a discussion on the best way to proceed voting on the resolution.
All those in favor?
Well, there's been no second on that motion.
Okay. There's a second. Okay. All those in favor of overruling the chair to make this a recommendation?
Well, we should have a discussion.
Okay, we'll move into discussion. Evan. Can everyone raise their placards that wants to speak? Omar? Or, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so throwing to the top of the box. As you can see, there's an interesting amount of people in the audience right now, and many people aren't able to make it into the room. The logistics of the situation have never been faced before that. This is a unique situation, and as you can see from this back and forth, the bylaws are not very clear on how it's supposed to work out. Usually, for sense of the body, it seems that you're managed enough that the community is there to showcase unanimity amongst the very large overwhelming community. It doesn't make sense for whichever community has put people in the room by a very slight margin, which is what it would be for the votes. So that's how the term involves the
majority of the president. It's a majority.
But it's clear when you read the bylaws, when you read the charter of the assembly, and the definition of what sense of the body is versus what a recommendation is, that this resolution is clearly a recommendation. Nowhere in it does it say that this is something to believe, or that this is something to be affirmed, or that this is something that we have to fight with that. Instead, it's just three very specific resolved by creating recommendations to the university as a whole, and that would make far more sense statistically and logically when the assembly debate over the assembly and vote on it as a matter of members.
J1.
Yeah, there is nothing in our governing bodies that actually prevents from being sensitive body. And also one of my questions is like no one designated this to be a sensitive body resolution. It was originally presented as a sensitive body resolution. And as a member of the deck, like I was like never asked to, modify that before today's vote, which makes it very unusual that's being brought up right now. But there is nothing in our governing bodies that say that this cannot be a sensitive body resolution.
No. No. Julian.
Speaking of the implications of a sensitive body versus a recommendation, I think I would say here out of the community votes that would come a sensitive body, and I think for community boards this one in the process when we frame this as something, and it should be something that incorporates community boards as much as possible, I think it would be a move that wouldn't be in
accordance with what our mission is and what we're doing here.
Mephusa.
Okay, so to respond to that, the way we would collect the votes is that we would verify the fact that there are no undergraduates and then put the votes, get our attention on the spreadsheet, give them immediately included after the vote is incorporated into the larger student assembly vote. So there's no danger that would come to people voting in this resolution.
Point of inquiry, are we voting on whether or not to overrule the chair's position that it's the parliamentarian's authority to designate the resolution types and that they can't be changed by the sponsors after the fact? Or are we voting on whether or not to actually change the resolution from a sense of the body to a recommendation?
We're voting on the latter because
Bruce specifically
said that he is
going
to
maintain
that sense of
the body.
No, because he maintained the parliamentarian's interpretation. Varun maintained the parliamentarian interpretation that the sponsors cannot change the resolution type on the business of the day if the parliamentarian decides a certain type. You are overruling whether or not the parliamentarian actually maintains that authority after the fact, or that the sponsors give authority after the fact. That does not actually change what type of resolution it is, and we don't want to overturn the rules into something else. Why don't you just call your motion and move to amend it and make it a just declare the recommendation?
Then I still pull my motion and so move to amend the resolution to make the recommendations of the sense of the
body. Okay. We'll continue with the current speaker's list. Mackenzie. John. Is that a formal motion to vote? All those in favor of making this a recommendation, please raise your placards. All those against? All those abstaining? This motion clearly fails. All right, so now that that's over with, we will continue with some ground rules. So, the way that we will be doing this moving forward, because the rest of the discussion should be centered on the resolution that is on the floor, we will allow three members of the student assembly to speak, and then one member of the community to speak. If you would like to speak, please form two lines. One line on that, actually, I don't even know if we'll do this logistically.
Only five people are going to get to speak with your order.
Yeah,
the three one
true.
Sponsors.
So how should we do this? Should we just cancel it?
In the center? In the center of it?
Can we block the center?
We can just have people. Oh, yeah, you're
right. Okay, so if you would like to speak and you are a member of the community, please come to this corner over here and this corner over here.
And we'll try our best.
There will be many members of the community that will be able to speak just because of how this works logistically. But if you would like to, please form the line on either side. So going back to the procedure, three members of the assembly will be allowed to speak. Then one member of the community from the pro-BDS or the pro-divestment side, and then three members of the assembly, one member of the community from the anti-divestment side, repeat. Each member of the community and each representative will be given 2 minutes to speak today. At about 15 seconds, I will give you a soft tap. At about 5 seconds, I will give you a reminder tap. And at 2 minutes, that's when you're done. Now, yeah. Co-sponsors of the resolution will get to speak when the topic that's being discussed is directly relevant to the co-sponsors.
There's a question that...
If there's a question directly made to you, or if there's a statement that directly targets you.
So far, I think the co-sponsors aren't going to be allowed to speak in general and sponsors directly asked to us.
You do three SA members, we'll do, member, one sponsor.
Yeah, we'll do the sponsors after each cycle.
2 minutes.
2 minutes as well.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Start the discussion with a 2 minute
Yeah, yeah, you can do that. Okay. Additionally, the vote will be held at 6:15 at the latest. If you would like to hold the vote earlier, you can make a motion to do so. The method of voting has not been decided upon yet. We don't know whether it's going to be a majority vote. We don't know whether a traditional vote where you raise your placards. We don't know whether it's going to be a standing vote. We don't know whether it's going to be roll call. We don't know whether it's going to be secret ballot. That's for the assembly to decide. Kirby. Yeah.
Right. We decide on the vote before we decide.
I would look unfavorably upon that, just because, like, it's already 5:12 and we haven't entered discussion yet. Yeah. So we'll do such at 6:15. Additionally, moving forward, I request that all members of the community and all members of the assembly keep the snaps and the claps and the boos and the jeers to a minimum. So that will allow us to allow as many community members to speak as possible and as many representatives to speak as possible. With that being said, we'll go ahead and start with the sponsors. You have 2 minutes. Or you can introduce as you would traditionally.
I just want to begin as one of the writers of this resolution. I want to emphasize how disrespectful we have felt by members of the opposition. It's very clear that any criticism that this resolution is getting is coming from people who have not read the resolution in its entirety. That is shameful and worrisome because this resolution is relying on the fact that that's a time of waiting. Words made sure that the facts that we're presenting are accurate, relevant, and included in the resolution. It concerns me that there are people who are standing against this resolution without knowing the facts. For this, I just want to reiterate what exactly this resolution is and what it isn't. And push back on criticism that it is getting that is not justified. First, from the beginning, the opposition inaccurately portrayed this resolution as an issue of BDS. All we have heard at the last meeting were criticisms of the BDS movement, but not the resolution itself. Yet, this isn't, yet people like this resolution is in response to the call for the BDS movement. Not even nowhere in the resolution do we call for boycotts, more sanctions. Moreover, the bigger issue is that the opposition to this resolution has never been based on facts or rational dissent. Instead, it's trying to marginalize, demonize, and ostracize those who fight for human rights. This happens because they know nothing in the resolution is factually incorrect, because it is impossible for them to find a substantive reason for our university becoming usual in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So instead, they have to resort to distracting from the resolution to find other means to attack. This, along with the impression that we are receiving funds from the greater international BDS movement, is completely false. It is an attempt to demonize a grassroots organization that has been started by students on this campaign and is endorsed by 24 organizations. That's two more than last week, including every Alana Umbrella. This revolution comes to students refusing to be complacent, human rights abuses, international law violations, and the oppression that our tradition is funding. The opposition claims that we are divesting from businesses on the basis of identity. There is no way to state that we are divesting from businesses just because they're Israeli or just because they're Jewish. In fact, none of the companies in the revolution itself are Israeli or Jewish. They are instead large multinational corporations that are profiting off human rights abuses and international law violations. In fact, anybody that says been trying to solve the decade-long political blocks, complicated whatever word they use, so that they have, because when we sat here and said that it is not our place with essay matters to describe political solutions, we agree with that. Once they these are relevant to our discussion, because we believe it is up to the Israelis and the Palestinians in the region to decide what they want for themselves. It is not up to us, but it is up to us as students of this university to decide whether we agree with our endowment profiting off the suffering of the Palestinian people. That is what we are voting on, not a political solution. And first of all, any argument that says that BDS or as I corrected earlier, divestment is not the moment to campus is incredibly problematic. To say that you disagree with divestment is something that I can respect. But to say that this discussion does not belong on campus or that the NSA should be talking about it is to silence the 24 organizations that stand behind us. It's to silence all the students here who say that this is what we want. How can you say that this doesn't belong at the NSA when it is our solution that is coming? You cannot preach dialogue in the same breath that you say divestment does not belong on campus, because that is a fact cycle dialogue. We urge you to be critical of the accurate arguments that are being thrown around against this resolution. We urge you to make a decision based on the content of this resolution alone. And we strongly urge you to vote in favor of divestment. It is in our hands as students and as people who make the humanity to urge the highest levels of our administration to guide us with compassion, injustice, and conflict. This move will not merely be a symbolic gesture. It will be part of a chain reaction that is taking place across this country, that is proclaiming loudly that we will not stand for participation, normalization, or investment in the moral vandalism that is an occupation of the Palestinian people and the Israeli apartheid. Your vote will be remembered decades from now as a vote for compassion, humanity, and dignity. Divestment is not just an end to complicity, but a beginning to create a path for a long-lasting peace built on liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the statement. We're open to moving into our discussion.
Thank you. So, if SA representatives could please raise your pockets if you would like to speak. All right, you can put your pockets down. Before we start speaking, just a reminder that if you are a community member that is an undergraduate student and you have your student ID on you, please go see Julian and Anushka over there if you would like to vote. They're at the table over here. There's a line being formed, so please do such. The votes will be tallied at the end.
And there's someone out in the lobby.
Shashank is also out in the lobby, so it's easier access for people in the back. Osai.
First of all, I think you're all the organization.
Respect the privacy of the sponsors.
Colin.
First of all, I think university and creating the assumption that they would rather refuse to take a stance on global issues today. They use words like divisive and heated to point at discounting the discussion. One of the largest points made against this resolution thus far has been that Cornell, as an academic institution, must maintain neutrality and has no business taking sides in this particular issue. There cannot be neutrality when people are dying, and there cannot be neutrality when this institution we are a part of profit from the issue in question. Cornell allows engage in political dialogue around the subject with nothing to produce. Beyond that, this is a dialogue that can never be equal in this context. All the while, they're claiming neutrality when they are, in fact, benefiting from their inaction and not neutral at all. This is extremely hypocritical for Cornell. We can all do better. Inertia may be powerful, but here are the 25 student organizations, including all 5 alumni and girls and beyond, proving that our voices are stronger. Thank you.
Evan.
So, I grew up in a Jewish home, Jewish area, and it is a request, and they have this much out of the way. What I've seen, Israel is like everything that they can do to the city. So they have to come to the city, it's an excellent amount of areas that they're going to have an opportunity to study. Hamas and Palestinian Authority have a goal of killing many people possible to become connected to this building to Boston. They have a fund for families and martyrs who have committed suicide bombings in Israel and killed Jews. The President of Palestinian Authority went into the process of that we want every time to do it for others.
Evan, please speak louder, please.
Whenever 1,000 Israelis were killed by terrorists in Palestine, considering Israel killed Jews, Israel built security threats and head checkpoints to prevent those attacks. Israel has an obligation to protect its citizens. And they exemplify that in many, many times and times again. For example, Galashuli was an Israeli soldier who was captured by the Palestinians, and in exchange for Galashuli, Israel released over 1,000 Palestinian soldiers to one of their own soldiers. It clearly shows that Israel cares about its people, and they would do anything to protect them, and that's what they're doing. Hamas fires rockets at schools and hospitals, which forces Israel to show the targets because Hamas is hiding behind the sick and the children. Hamas also takes money in the seasons in foreign aid and uses it to make rockets and build tunnels in Israel and potentially make them dangerous. And fighters in Israel kill more Jews. Hamas forces women and children to attack the border and try and break into Israel, and they're flying fire kites into friendly fields. This resolution refuses to acknowledge the faults of the Palestinian leadership and the plight of the people. It's only to blame Israel, which is not fair, it does not, and will not contribute to a solution or dialogue on this topic. I also want to correct the complaint that Jewish dollars are going to companies and profits, but Jewish action is not coming down to the companies only funded by companies, so that is just not true. The resolution calls for Cornell's estimated value of funds to confirm, and finally, I urge all of my dear friends to go, no, it's not a resolution, this is not the way to achieve this.
Sever? Okay. Yep.
John, hand him that mic.
Yeah.
My name is Esther Stein. I am a member of Students for Justice in Palestine. I also come from a Jewish upbringing. I would like to address the concern that many of you have that this resolution makes use on this topic to be allowed to say. Given the rise of anti-Semitism in this country, this is a legitimate concern, and I take it very seriously. Growing up in the Jewish community, I was constantly told that to be Jewish, I had to support Israel. But if I didn't, there would be another genocide, like the one that killed my grandpa's family. For a long time, I was afraid to talk about Palestine. But we have to recognize that SJP's divestment campaign is not aimed at inciting hatred. In fact, we are actively fighting it. We are a diverse coalition with endorsements from 24 orgs and representation composed mostly of minorities across campus, including Jewish minorities. So I don't have to tell you that this coalition does not tolerate discrimination of any form. As anti-Semitism and other forms of hatred rise, we will continue to fight back, but we must also fight for Palestinian rights at the same time. To be clear, we are not asking for divestment from Jewish companies. We are asking for divestment from large corporations which profit off illegal settlements and the suffering of Palestinians. As we speak, homes are being demolished, civilians are being arrested, and lives are being lost. This is why we feel the need to speak up. Yet by staying here today, we are taking a risk. Since March 2017, the Knesset has officially banned people like me, people who speak up for Palestinians, from entering Israel. Many of my fellow students have family in Israel, and they risk never missing again. We are afraid that employers will deny us opportunities. We are worried that our names will have some backlinks, that our personal information will be exposed, that we will be deported, that we will invite hate into our communities. In many ways, we too feel unsafe. Regardless of how this day turns out, we are committed to ensuring that no one on this campus feels afraid to speak their mind. We will continue to hold regular teachings on Palestine, and we plan on working with Jewish Voice for Peace to establish a space for discussion which does not normalize the occupation. But dialogue is no substitute for action when the stakes are this high. This is why I urge the essay to deeply consider the opportunity you have today to take a stand against oppression. Thank you.
So, if everyone in the back and everyone that's moving around could keep the speaking to a minimum, I know that it's really hard for people to hear, so I think everyone would greatly appreciate that. Additionally, if individuals who are speaking, whether it's community members or representatives, if you could hold the mic as close to your mouth as possible, even if it sounds loud to you, it may not be loud to the people in the back. With that being said, I'm going to hand it back to the sponsors. You have 2 minutes.
My name is Adam Tsu, and as a member of the Palestinian diaspora, I address this body today with a basis of great concern. If you found that Israel's recent racism against the state while technically establishing non-Jewish central processes, just wait until the recently re-elected Netanyahu regime escalates the existing human rights emergency to truly genocide of Jews. Within the region, the leadership has promised the full annexation of the ghettoized Palestinian territories to the West Bank, a clear violation of international law. The shift towards this far right stands to threaten not just the Palestinian people, but all peoples. It also imperils the safety of the Holy Land territories, not just crossfire of Israel, self-defined as real supremacist state, including the Jews, Ahmadis, Bedouins, and Sephardis, people who have lived and thrived on this soil. When we look behind that country, we see that it relates to specific structures and institutions that are implicit in oppression. These structures, as they stand, are impersonal. They are what won the military occupation of the West Bank, the apartheid wall that separates Palestinians and Israelis, the blockade on the Gaza Strip, and the unequal treatment of Palestinians both in the occupied territories and those who are citizens of Israel. Those structures and institutions are in no way meant to be interpreted as individuals. Some of the opposition may attempt to claim that divestment from international companies that benefit the occupation can be interpreted as divestment directed at individuals by virtue of their faith and nationality. We not only wholeheartedly reject that interpretation and reiterate the previous definition of divestment, but we also wholeheartedly reject any kind of discrimination of that nature. Divestment never has and never will be directed at individuals. The question is not whether it's agreed to the state of Israel can be included, but whether it should be held to the same standards as other countries. The state of Israel is violating more UN resolutions than any other country in the history of the UN. Divestment is about seeking community by means of putting an end to the material and financial support of institutions that benefit the occupation in the name of justice and law.
So, moving forward, I'm going to request that the sponsors maintain their speaking time for responding to commentary rather than, like, giving pre-written speeches. That's traditionally what this period is meant for. But next on the speaker's list is Dale, or John, sorry. No, you're next.
Good afternoon. I'm just going to start by reframing the framework of this debate. I'm going to talk about the West Bank, opposition to business itself, to BDS. The proposition was specifically about BDS. I got very interested because not too long ago, the attention was about BDS. We all saw Facebook post. This awful error that Sarah chose you, it's just almost like a horrible strategy to move my colleagues around with somebody. It seems the proposition consulted the handbook for BDS activists. On page 9 of the handbook for BDS activists, you'll see that they advise activists that you cannot see full BDS, you show limited BDS, and that is a quote unquote second step for comprehensive boycott in Israel. And another problem is that the ultimate goal of BDS is not to change Israeli policies, but to isolate and pressure Israel until it collapses as a Jewish and democratic state. So I want that to call is not fooled by the propositions, business of BDS. Make no mistake, this is a BDS resolution we had on our table. And on the second part of the West Bank, the proposition also remains that the West Bank is the reason there is a peace in the region. This simply is not true. The top news way back before there was something in the West Bank. I know this because my family was there in 1948 during the Arab War. I know this because my family was there in 1967 in the Arab-Israeli-Six-Day War. These wars are not fought for the West Bank. These wars are fought for the existence of Israel and Israel only. Does not have a right to exist. That's what these words are about. And so, to say that the conflict is about the West Bank is just disingenuous. It's just not true. It's a red herring. It's just a red herring. Why the resolution? And I'll move on to the last point. This issue really puts my family out in a very different spot. It's for a minority in Syria. My family was not longer than Colombo, another part of Syria, it's for a minority. But I don't usually blame at any time the civil strike in my country as it was now, as they did in 1963 with the Syrian Revolution. My family is not safe all the time in Syria. In fact, my cousin today is just alone in Syria. At any time, he can kidnap and murder as he was told in the past, in essence, not too long ago. His fact proper was fun, but not so often thought about how he found a gay person in his neighborhood and had him kidnapped and murdered his entire family. It's not so often he did that. My family is not safe in Syria, and it's already in civil strike. It's a war with Israel. Would endanger my family, and I am not going to endanger my family for an agenda that wants to delegitimize the Jewish and Democratic state. That's why I'm going to be voting against this resolution. And I encourage all my colleagues on this assembly to put this down. It's a red herring, it's a lot of logic, and it's going to make dangerous families and all these families.
Dale.
I'm yielding to
Sorry. Cuddy.
So, as a Black Muslim woman, oppression and discrimination are things that I'm a little too familiar with. There are things that I have no choice but to deal with every day. All I've ever known to do is one and keep pushing. You don't give up.
Here's the other one.
This is.
We don't give up in the face of opposition. We don't give up because things aren't complicated. We don't give up because things aren't hard. It is an intellectual and morally dishonest decision, but especially for people who understand what oppression looks like and face it every day, it's not fight for our brothers and sisters who struggle. This is the sort of ethos that I strongly reject. As a person who supports religious rights, I strongly condemn any anti-Semitism and reject white supremacy. This is not at all up for debate. It is simply a fundamentally and morally wrong belief. Anti-Semitism has no place on this campus or anywhere for that matter. While this is something that I have pushed back and fought against, I think it would be unjust of me to not address the conflict because I'll face opposition because it's a complicated issue. The people of Palestine are facing oppression, discrimination. in their own homes or what's left of them. That is what it feels like to be insane. In this country, I have seen how systemic oppression has kept many black people in poverty, has had them live without clean water, and pipeline them into prison. I regularly face racism and discrimination, which is uncomfortable and hurtful, but I have learned to deal with it and push back in a plethora of ways. We constantly see hashtags of black and brown bodies that have been lost and killed by the police, the people who are supposed to protect them. I genuinely feel insane. That is accompanied by my concerns for my brother and father. Are they next? That is just my experience as a black woman. Now, as a Muslim, I sometimes fear going to a mosque or being at any celebrations, as this is the question that I could take my last breath in prayer or in celebration. That is what it looks like and feels like to be insane. Let us please stop with the oppression of Olympics. We can fight against multiple injustices at the same time, and false interference with rights and sexuality has been created. There is a difference between being uncomfortable and being unsafe. Being uncomfortable because of other people's actions is a completely bad behavior, but it is also a good reminder of what factors work towards and push it down. However, discomfort when you're speaking on issues is abysmal and antithetical to what we should have thought about the ground for modification. With discomfort, there is growth and so much to be learned. Please consider this an act of insanity. This is our chance to take a stand against oppression. This is our chance to finally be on the right side of this world.
Mackenzie, you're next, but before you speak, again, I'm going to humbly request members of the community to maintain the lowest speaking volume possible. If possible, don't speak at all, please. Additionally, representatives, please, scream into your microphones, speak as loudly as John did, because the feedback that I'm getting up here is that, people in the back could only hear John speak. So I would encourage other representatives to be just as loud. Mackenzie.
So I've spoken to many members of the community on both sides of this issue, and I'm grateful that I've seen such passion and activism. That being said, I think it's very disingenuous to say that this is affiliated with BDS. It was very blatantly affiliated with BDS by Cornell Digest on many occasions, both in person and online, until host sponsors realized that such alignment would be detrimental to getting a resolution passed. The resolution itself is also copied almost word for word from BDS resolutions introduced on many other campuses across the country. Politically, I would align with the resolution. However, the possibility of increased anti-Semitic attacks and events post-BDS resolutions on campuses like UC Davis, U Chicago, and Stanford is something that I would use to ignore, and I implore the rest of the SA members to not ignore it either. I, along with many others, have received multiple threats, insults, and attacks from many of folks on the pro-resolution, pro-BDS side without any mention of my stance at all. If that's any indication of our campus environment should this resolution pass, I want absolutely no part of it. That's why I'm strongly voting against Resolution 36.
Again, please don't snap. Jay.
Hi everyone, my name is Jay, I'm the president of Cornell University of Israel. We want to focus our time arguing the merits of this resolution, but I have to point out the hypocrisy that the proponents of this resolution continue to employ. They're saying that one of the people that sponsored this resolution, Matt Schreiber, said in November that Cornell should be effectively endorses the destruction of Israel as a Jewish state. Suddenly, at the teaching in February, they don't. Then, on February 20th, March 1st and March 16th, they share on Facebook that this isn't BDS. Now, or that this is BDS. No, it's not. Then again, 2 weeks ago, they said that this has nothing to do with Israel, only the West Bank. But in fact, in telling people to come here today, they said, quote, divest from Israel. And as Adam read his speech just now on his computer, and I have a picture to show you, the name of the Google Doc is BDS. How can we continue to believe the lies being run? At every turn, this resolution sponsor will do anything to show that they just want this passed. And why? It has nothing to do with Nazi-Trump's videos. They don't make any mention of peace. Instead, this only has to do with criticizing Israel time and time again. If we took the time we spent arguing for 2 months and trying to help Israelis and Palestinians, think of what we could have done, rather than continue to fight, have one thing and continue to see nothing positive come back. Please vote no.
sponsors. You're all allowed to speak, but you're given 2 minutes.
I'm supposed to be a response.
And it's supposed to be a response, not a speech.
But I first just appreciate Ron's understanding of the media in the book, and I don't think it's going to be a copy of tracking that but I do want to take the chase of my thoughts on positive resolution, and the ones that we've been hearing about this morning. Because what we have set up here, none of it is that this one isn't about BDS. Also, are you guys going to be using this right
now? You're good.
He's good, he's fine. Yeah, but it's not that we're saying that this isn't tied to BDS, but that if you want to have conversations about BDS as a whole, that's fine. But that when deciding on this resolution, look at the concept of the resolution. BDS is one thing. BDS's greatest resolution is inspired from. That's not a lot. But read through the resolution. When you're discussing with us and debating it, don't debate with me about the points of BDS more likely. Debate with us about the points of the resolution. Give us factual arguments against it. The reason that we teach people not to make factual arguments against the resolution is because there isn't anything substantively wrong with the resolution. No part of it is incorrect. Okay. All
right, thank you. Dale.
I think
this is good.
Yeah. We only have so much time to really debate what's in front of us and make a serious decision that's going to impact a lot of people. I think we've all come to the realization and understanding that in terms of the legislative requests of the resolution, that's not going to happen. That's not what we're debating. We're not sitting here deciding whether or not Cornell University is going to divest from the companies listed in this resolution. We absolutely know that even less likely is the request for transparency in the investments, because that would completely fundamentally change how the university is going to operate. So what we are voting on is a symbolic resolution. And when you're voting on a symbolic resolution that you are thinking, is this going to create change in the world? You need to answer that question. Do you really think that's going to happen? And if you are not certain about that in any way at all, you need to think, is this going to hurt people who are around you? I have notes here that I've been looking at for the past few weeks, which are the 6 principles of nonviolence. 1, nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. It is active nonviolence to resistance. 2, nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding. The end result of nonviolence is redemption and reconciliation. 3, nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice, not people. Nonviolence recognizes that evildoers are also victims. 4, nonviolence holds that suffering can educate and transform. Nonviolence willingly accepts the consequences to its acts. 5, nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. Nonviolence resists violence in the spirit as well as the body. Nonviolence love is active, not passive. Nonviolence love does not sink to the level of the hater. Love restores community and resists injustice. Nonviolence recognizes the fact that all life is interrelated. 6, nonviolence believes the universe is on the side of justice. The nonviolent resistor has deep faith that justice will eventually win. I have no doubt that the resolution sponsors believe that the resolution sticks to every one of those points. But I think we have seen that the movement that it is connected to does not. And that if we are going to take a risk that we can one day change the status quo in Israel, we need to be sure that we are taking a side that will be able to fight for peace, for justice, for reconciliation, and for all of those involved. And I do not believe that this resolution does that.
Savannah.
Over the past few weeks, I've met with students and some of the issues ranging from safety to human rights violations, anti-Semitism to Islamophobia. It is clear that the student body is very passionate about this issue, and I'm glad that people are using the essay and their various representatives as channels to fight for what they think is right. To be completely transparent, I have been extremely disappointed in the way this resolution has been handled by everyone involved. I think the way that certain members of the assembly was harassed and threatened was absolutely
absolutely reprehensible. And I think a lot of threatening and targeting practices by both sides was frankly unnecessary and incredible. You can't expect the state governments to solve the geopolitical crisis. But to say that the benefit resolution is not the one on the next day, it's to undermine the voices that we as students and representatives have, and it's a weak and frankly delusional argument. My issues with this resolution are the untimely and unprofessional manner in which has been used, the fact that not everyone on the assembly is well educated on this issue, and the disingenuity of disassociating this resolution with BDS. But I see this resolution as one of pure intent. Fundamentally, I believe the driving force behind the resolution is to bring to light the injustices and human rights violations that help students face every day, like having extremely limited access to clean water, something I saw firsthand when I visited Jerusalem. I don't want to define anti-Semitism because I know saying that, but I do see this as criticism of a right-wing government committing human rights violations and not something inherently malicious. I know other ethnic members here agree with me when I say that you are really conflicted because many of us have spoken with you and heard your concerns. I hear the pain and the suffering and the fear on both sides, and I truly do empathize. But no matter what goes today, I want to urge you all to keep talking about this issue, to have these hard conversations, comparing realities on both sides, and overall, to approach your fellow students with empathy, because at the end of the day, every single one of us, whether for or against this resolution, does have the same campus to stay with us.
J1.
I just wanted to mention a point that I think you really want about, and that's the point about the investment, that the university is making in our endowment. I first and foremost think that I cannot support this resolution because I do believe that it is our first and foremost priority to make sure that our endowment supports our mission. And one of the things our endowment, a few of the things our endowment does, is it really helps people here by giving financial aid. It improves teaching, it improves research innovation, and it also puts money in public service. And these are all important things that you are doing here at Cornell. And I do not see this resolution as the best way to approach this issue. I am not saying I don't hear the concerns of the people who are involved in writing or opposing this resolution, but it is that the method that we're doing about doing this is not right. I do believe that we can do what we do best, which is educating people, by making sure that we recruit students from diverse backgrounds, and to make sure that we put more money into educating these students about these issues, because I know that a lot of my friends, even like before this came up a few weeks ago, they were not aware of the conflicts that were happening in the area. And I really want to make sure that Cornell does a better job at making sure that it invests more into those areas that really need help at Cornell. We have professors who are capable of doing that. And I really want to make sure that we make sure that we have a solid endowment which can support the learning that happens here. And I want Cornell to diversify where it recruits from to make sure that can be a possibility. But right now I see that we are at a crossroads where we are deciding on how to go with handling this issue. And I think this just seems more on the conversation before it can happen. I really want to make sure that now that we are having this conversation, that we continue to do so. And if that is the case, we cannot call for an investment and expect for a lot of conversations to happen on this campus. So I want to make sure that the same members are aware of this and the importance of keeping our mouth and safe to make sure that we're all in the future, education, and public service is prioritized before anything else.
Here, get this microphone. Sure.
I want to start by addressing those of you who think that cost of divestment is ineffective. I encourage you guys to look back at history if you believe this. Divestment campaigns in South Africa and apartheid played a critical role in bringing about the end of the regime. The last president of the regime himself acknowledged this. But there's also a greater purpose in this, these divestment campaigns, which is to stigmatize what is currently normalized oppression. Right now, the status quo completely disregards Palestinian oppression. It's so normalized that most people don't even believe that Palestinians are being oppressed, despite nearly global recognition of this fact. There's been a wave of investment campaigns passing on campuses like at Brown and at UC Berkeley. The list goes on and on. These steps are small. You dismiss them to be do cause ripples and do make noise. They make national news. It's all about forcing people to confront their inherent biases and misconceptions through social pressure. But what I really want to highlight today is our intentions as the 24 orgs that truly believe in what this resolution stands for. I want to make sure you understand the gravity of such widespread solidarity. We are not funded by any national organization with political motivation, whereas Pelop is an explicitly political national organization that often reprimanded the chapters for partnering with anyone that supports the PDF. We as a coalition are not funded by any kind of politically motivated outside agenda. We all come from such different backgrounds. Most of us have absolutely no personal connection to Palestine. We are just individual college students operating under our own conscience despite the backlash and threats that come with being vocal critical of the occupation in a country and university that are so heavily pro-Israel. Our coalition rejects the idea of maintaining an ethnic majority in a state. There is literally no way to maintain an ethnic majority in a state without persecuting and discriminating against the other. We see this with nationalism all over the world. We call out genocide and ethnic cleansing in places like Myanmar with the Rohingya genocide, China with the detainment of Uyghurs, or in my own country, Sri Lanka, with the massacre of Tamil people. Why is the U.S. placing Israel on a pedestal? What they are doing is no different from what is going on in these countries. None of us are saying we want to destroy Israel or take away Jewish self-determination. Despite what the opposition wants you to believe so that they can demonize our intentions, none of us are saying that freeing Palestine means turning around and oppressing Israelis. All we are asking is that Palestinians be given the same freedoms and rights that Jewish Israelis are currently enjoying. All we want is a place that is more inclusive of everyone regardless of ethnicity or religion.
Sponsors.
My name is Max Rupert, a member of the Equal Conference of Resolution.
Can you speak up?
Louder.
So I appreciate this amendment for talking about non-Jewish people and statements group, but as my statement directly responds to some members who know about our advocate and partners. Many points of this resolution cite the rising tide of anti-Semitism as a reason why it should not be discussed. It's absolutely true that around the world, the spectral reaction towards Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, anti-Arab, anti-Black racism, and other bigotry on the rise. However, at the same time, the movement of people devoted to smashing the face of oppression and all its forms is growing as well. This is no less true within Jewish communities than it is any other. Year after year, more and more Jews everywhere are coming to terms with the ills, ethno-nationalism, and the rot of the Palestinian and Jewish peoples, and reorienting themselves toward the creation of a new progressive entity for the Jewish diaspora. As the shift continues, we're building up relationships with all other marginalized downtown groups on the understanding that no matter what the particulars of our oppression are, our ends are one and the same. The people who wish to see the Jewish diaspora in America do not wish to see the same for Black Americans. Black Americans, Latinx Americans, Native Americans, and Muslim Americans. And seeing as the Israeli government continues to aid and abet such forces as the anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim warlock regime in Hungary and the neo-Nazi Abba Fidel in Ukraine, the fight for Palestinian national liberation and against Zionism must be a core component of a broader unified struggle. The coalition, our police are now building, will serve as a means to defend ourselves from and strike out against our human reaction. And the unity between students this campaign has figured out campus will sow the seeds of creating such a coalition here at Cornell. I will finish by reading an open letter from 327 Jewish Holocaust survivors and their descendants to the New York Times.
It's 2 minutes. Mariah.
So, I've heard a lot that this is about, that there's a lot of sequencing on the issue of the greater scope of the issue that we shouldn't be voting on this, but from what I have seen in the resolution itself, it's not calling for solutions to the political issue itself. It's talking about human rights violations that have been committed against people in a certain location. Regardless of how you vote, I think that it's important to actually be looking at the resolution itself and not just talking about the grand scheme of things, but it's just too big of an issue because the resolution is talking about the issue that I feel like I've heard a lot of people talking about. I also think that it's insensitive to say that this is the BDS with the resolution when the voters of the resolutions themselves have said that it's not BDS and that they're probably only for their investment. And in the resolution itself, there's no public profit sanction. And I think that it makes sense that it's all people who vote the resolution themselves that understand about the resolution results.
Kat.
I have yet to see events that passing the resolution itself will help either students on our campus or people in the global community. It's been voiced to me over and over again that this resolution will only serve to further polarize the campus and cause Jewish students to feel unsafe on campus, possibly holding Islamism on our campus, no matter whether that Islamism is affiliated with the pro-democracy movement. I'm not convinced that passing the resolution will actually help people in our global community that we know that Islam likely will not happen, not just because President Pollock has already responded, but by nature of how our demand itself works. Co-BDS members and co-founders of the resolution I've talked with have told themselves that they know that Islam will not happen, even if the resolution passes, and it's worth making a statement. While I completely agree with the statement and the mission and the small nature of what we want to do here, I would stand against student rights abuses and for that. But assembly members may only affect how students feel on campus. And while, again, I agree with your desire to make these statements, and I agree with the mission, I know assembly members are really struggling with voting on this resolution, and that students have voiced both legitimately and actively make them feel unsafe. And you cannot be dismissive of these concerns. If I may address the co-sponsors and give them a chance to convince the body and explicate how this resolution will actually and indirectly help students on our campus instead of making them feel unsafe, and will help people in the community.
Is that a question?
Yeah, I'll give you 30 seconds to answer that since she only went to 1:30.
Can you just rephrase the question?
Sure. Can you convince me that this resolution will help students on campus instead of hurting them and or will help the community on the other end and may possibly just letting that happen?
Yeah, I think this actually is a very important question. I'm glad you bring it up. Because this ties to the larger issue of why we're having this conversation. And that's because there's something wrong. And it's that people are not even allowed to decide. Whenever anyone brings up criticism to the state or discussions like this, they're immediately shot down. They're really told that all it does is divide people. It shouldn't be talked about. What this resolution does, what passing this resolution does, is showcase to the larger community that the status quo is wrong. That you should be able to have these conversations, have them take place, call out exactly the things that our resolution calls out. We read through at the last meeting. We showed you where the issues are and why voting for this resolution is voting to say that those issues exist, and you want to do something about that. When you vote for the resolution, if you vote yes, you are saying that it is okay to bring up these discussions and giving legitimacy to the fact that those discussions need to happen and that you believe our university should remain neutral. It is a statement of values that is in. So remember, you can divide people of an editor.
That's an end. 30 seconds was when you started.
Thank you.
Nick.
As assembly members, we have to consider the resolution to resolve our process from its creation to its implementation. We need to ensure that moving forward, we are positioning ourselves for a safe and stable campus climate. The hard realities of the general population at Cornell is not the intent to read this resolution. When I talk to my friends, when I talk to my peers, they ask me, what are you going to do about the BDS resolution today? In consideration of how this is going to impact our campus climate, we consider how other campuses have responded to BDS resolutions and pro-democratic resolutions on the campuses. And in 2015, at UC Davis, following the passage of a BDS resolution in the student government, sponsored professors prohibited on the grounds of the Jewish fraternity, the AAPI. That's when this past fall at NYU, a credible threat was made against Hillel only within the week following the BDS resolution being passed. The Hillel office had closed and reopened within a day and would increase security presence and police presence. Also, at the University of Michigan, within a day of the pro-BDS resolution passing, flooded the ground on campus. Here on Cornell campus, there's been multiple anti-Semitic events that have happened. In the fall of my freshman year, there were anti-Semitic protests all around campus. And this past winter, there was lots of snow on campus dormitory grounds. We need these considerations so we determine what happens after the event and whatever we choose to vote on the resolution. There is a clear correlation between these resolutions and the rise of anti-Semitism. As an SA member, we must decide what is best for the community here at NPL. We must continue to support the dialogue with respect to both sides. However, we need to do so in a way that does not increase hatred within our university and amongst our peers. We should simply have a conversation about elevating the council of people through initiatives such as the Theorists, Center for Peace, which works to create an independent voluntary medical system and encourage socioeconomic cooperation along with joint economic research. It is all together when we choose to elevate each other to peace that we will be able to have a proper dialogue.
Member from this side.
My name is Shoki Dorn. Today, I'm standing here in front of you as an Israeli, as a Cornell student, asking you to vote no to BDS. On January 6, 2009, at 9:30, I woke up to this island. I got off my bed, and I ran down to the bomb shelter around the corner of my house like it was top of school. 2 seconds after I closed the door, I heard a loud boom, and felt the earth shake. I saw my home, so the place where I could feel the space collapse around me. I heard the painful moans of my dying dog. I smelled the nauseating scent of smoke and debris that filled my lungs. I was 12 years old. I was a little girl who almost died because I was Jewish and because I was Israeli. In Israel, this terrorism against Jews and Israelis is normal. Riding a bus and being afraid it will be blown up is normal. Walking around and being afraid you'll get stabbed is normal. Luckily, I survived. But that trauma of being attacked for your identity leaves the deepest and most painful scar that will ever fully heal. It leaves you with an innate sense of paranoia. When I applied to Cornell, I decided to come here because I wanted a place where I'm accepted for who I am. A place where when I share my story, people won't call me names, won't call me a Zionist scum, won't tell me I deserve what happened to me because I'm Israeli. I'm sad to say, this hasn't been the case. I never imagined my Israeli identity would be put up to a vote, but here we are. Imagine how hurtful it is for someone to stand before me and say that I don't have the right to exist. Because after all, that is the goal of the BDS movement. To eliminate me, my family, my people, and to make Jews feel the way I did, running through the bomb shelter as a little girl. Terrified. I am here standing before you today, pleading with you to vote no on a resolution that is filled with lies and hate. That tells me that my story, my trauma, my life does not matter. I am a victim of terror. I have paid the price of violence. And here I am. I am ready to start dialogue, real dialogue, not prepared speeches with an agenda. I want to do this because I don't want any more kids to live in fear, to sleep with their shoes by their bed and kids have to run to the bus shelter at night, to panic when they hear the alarm clock goes off. Please, vote no to BDS. Show me that I matter. Show me that I'm worth it. Show me that I belong here.
Are there any other SA members that have not spoken yet that would like to speak? Grace. Yes. Oh, sorry. You're right.
I just want to say that voting to pass this resolution will not bring an end to dialogue. In fact, it will encourage it. Because as of now, we cannot have real dialogue. She did essentially acknowledge that, yeah. And also, a point of information is a question, not a rhetorical question. Kirabil?
You know, a few weeks ago, if any one of you asked me about the Israeli-Palestine conflict, I probably would not have known what to tell you. In the weeks since, I spent many hours meeting with members who either oppose or support Resolution 36. And I would like to give a special thanks to Adam and Isaiah for sitting down with me and thoroughly going through the resolution. Now, I would like to ask all of you by show of hands, how many of you genuinely believe that this is a multi-faceted issue? So, you know, Israel and Palestine, can go on for the next 100 years, killing one another, fighting over this issue.
We should spend the next several weeks and next months discussing this in debates. But given your response to my question, I'd like to ask you all now, how is it that we come here, gathered today, with a resolution in front of us that unjustly and disproportionately places blame on one nation? And we have just acknowledged that this is a multifaceted division. You guys voted. You guys showed me your hands. You said it.
This
resolution.
Well, I think that should have been
clarified from the beginning.
I
would not
have
been clear. The policy is very relevant, isn't it? This resolution is very simple. We're helping out the human rights violations that the state of Israel has been doing.
Adam. You guys will get your time to respond afterwards. That's the whole point of that 2 minutes.
But I'd like to implore all of my fellow Sunday members to please vote on this resolution. Doing so will not sign the dialogue. In fact, we'll continue dialogue as we see here today, as it affects many and many of our peers. So please vote on.
Evan.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, he can yield. You can yield. I'm going to disallow that just because the purpose of this structure is to promote student assembly speaking time, since community members got to speak basically the entirety of last week. Would you like to still speak, then? Okay, go ahead.
So basically, I have to ask questions and responses. So if you claim that this is not a BDS resolution, would you be willing to disavow BDS women as anti-Semitic, since it is at fault for the destruction of the state of Israel, and promise that it should be passed, that it won't be an acceptance of the future BDS resolution?
You're allowed to answer that question.
No.
Okay, so we'll be moving forward. There's been a motion to vote, there's been dissent. Can you please state your dissent? There's 3 minutes left. We'll be discussing that at 6:15. Yeah. Okay. Omar, you have your 2 minutes.
Okay. Similar to what Matt was saying, a lot of what I've already written about this monology that's come up, so I do want to read from it. But this resolution is the apex of months of student work, which has unified every corner of this campus in opposition to colonialization, occupation, and human rights violations. I mean, look at the banner in the center of the room. We, every single organization that has endorsed this resolution in its entirety, we all see the same things, know the same fact, that Israel has committed human rights violations in their occupation of Palestine. As our institution simply has been demonstrated, legal bodies ranking the UN Security Council and Cold War have proved beyond a doubt that Israel goes to the apartheid. Yet beyond that, all this resolution seeks is one simple thing, neutrality. No part of this resolution is asking for Cornell to support one side or the other. And we've heard from the opposition saying to other guys, but look instead at the facts. This resolution only has three results, each of which requests that we pull our money out of an armed conflict. This week, the world will be witness the re-election of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a signal that fascism and racism are alive and well. As part of this campaign, Netanyahu has also vocalized with a big Israeli policy for the last 2 decades, a promise of full annexation of the West Bank, complete violation of international law, which our government claims to be a proponent of. And this week alone, you can see why this resolution is so necessary. Although the ultimate goal of creating a framework of accountability for this individual seems like a monumental task, in reality, it is an attainable goal that every level of society can work towards, including our own parliamentary people. Moreover, opponents to our policy values may claim false claims, assumptions about our identity. And the first is that divestment prevents dialogue, which is something we've been hearing repeatedly. This cannot be further from the truth. We live in an era of increasing digital dependence and criminal. This is the enforcement reality that every time any competition is about proving fiction with visual students copying is met with censorship, hate, and demonization, I would encourage all of my fellow subscribers to vote yes.
Before we go into discussion about voting, I want to remind community members that you are allowed to vote if you are an undergraduate student. If you are an undergrad that has not submitted your vote yet, there's a station over here with three members of the assembly that will be eager to take your votes. Additionally, Shashank, is there anyone on the outside now? Okay, so this is the only station through which you can vote. Before we move forward, I'm going to reiterate how the voting works. So, we haven't determined voting procedure yet, but in terms of the way that the vote is counted, it will be as such. There needs to be a majority of votes for this resolution to pass. An abstention does not count as a vote. If abstentions outnumber the number of yes votes, the resolution also fails. The only way this resolution fails is if one of two things happens. No votes outnumber yes votes, or abstentions outnumber yes votes. Now, the votes that the community is putting in will be tallied up in totality as two votes. These two votes cannot be split. So that means that if the community votes to support this resolution, then there will be two votes added to the yes column. If the community votes no, then two votes will be added to the no column. Does that make sense to everyone? Yeah.
So the no votes and the abstentions will be combined?
They will not be combined. Are there...
Will the two votes be public or someone else?
The two votes will be public. The names associated with the votes will not be public. Cuddy?
It's a majority.
It's majority.
It's like 51%.
51% means, yeah, or over 50%. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? There we go. Now we'll be moving into discussion on the voting procedure. Considering there has not been a formal motion made to vote.
Second.
By secret ballot or by ballot?
Second.
There's been a second. Is there? We'll be moving to discussion on this because this isn't traditionally what's done. Mackenzie?
To the point of a secret vote or a secret ballot for the point of safety, if you're fearful to vote one way or the other, then maybe there's a reason. Maybe the other side that you're afraid of shouldn't be a topic in this discussion.
Brian?
What is a bummer?
Did you? Yeah.
What's the discussion? It's a bummer. I know I showed you Article 4, Section 5, 250. This is a great position. You know, it says prior to the bylaws of the chairman, that entities, exhibit ballots, are reserved only for executive decision. There's a debate on this. It's just not sanctioned by the bylaws.
I'm going to refer to the parliamentarian for this.
It's not fair.
Yeah, so Section 4 of the bylaws. Or it's like talking about it, right? It says secret ballot votes are usually recorded in sessions, which is pretty explicit in its holding that we can only use secret ballots in executive session. I don't think there's any way to include them in a public meeting like this without really violating the bylaws.
So that's been the parliamentarian's interpretation.
I would like to offer a different opinion. The secret ballot session is only part of the executive session of our bylaws. The student assembly is the arbiter of our bylaws. bylaws, I can we can vote as a majority vote to overrule the interpretation of parliamentarian, as we constantly have done in this assembly. So I'm going to motion to overrule the parliamentarian interpretation, and then we'll do majority vote on secret ballot.
All right, we're going to continue with discussion because this is essential. So we're going to continue with the discussion just because regardless of this point that's being made, that point that's being made, there's going to be a vote on whether or not to engage in a secret ballot. So I'm going to continue with Brian.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are wary. A lot of people listen to their wary. We were elected to represent the students. The students, many of whom have showed up here today, they expect to know how they will be voting. They expect to see which way to support this resolution. They deserve to know that. If they vote for us, they deserve to know how we will be voting. I think using the secret ballot is a cop-out. I think it's the wrong decision. And I would urge you to vote for a vote that will be open and honest. Thank you.
Shailen.
And I think it's pretty clear that the bylaws state that secret ballots shall be used for executive sessions, and if you argue that you guys can overrule the rules, I think that puts us in a very dangerous situation where there are no rules anymore. It is very clear. So if you are arguing that this section or this clause that secret ballots shows shall be used for executive sessions will apply only to executive sessions, then you are basically arguing that the existence of this line doesn't matter anymore. So if you take that line and give your spirit to scrub it off, and it will really obvious if it's under this argument. And I think it's very clear that as a member who has to be checking on this issue, I want to question whether you didn't ask during the preview what it was, and that whether I would have made more trustees voting procedure transparent. And this is something you can actually do. This is like in our power to be whatever I was saying that is transparent. So I don't think it's not really transparent. I implore all of the others to follow our bylaws and the procedures that are coming here.
Before we continue, I'm just going to add a little note. The way that this discussion works, essentially, so under a certain interpretation, it would require suspension of the rules, which would be a two-thirds vote, and under Joe's interpretation, his interpretation is that the parliamentarian read this wrong and he would like to overturn the parliamentarian, which is a one-half vote, so this becomes really fun for everyone. But I'm just going to continue allowing speakers to speak while we figure this out. Mariah.
So, I think that the overview of the rules of the rules can be looked at, that rules for changing that we've already been doing the position. And I'm not saying this is heavy, but I'm not going to be back in the school in back of us. And it's like, those rules are the rules that I think for the
Nick.
So, some of them exclude their parents who were contacted by national reporters asking for our opinions about the BDS movement. And the moment my family comes into this play about my actions, I'm not losing my values and across the line. So I am very comfortable that that information has gotten out, that people's family members are being contacted about actions that are occurring amongst us. And I do not want my decisions and myself and my family, but I don't want my parents to contact about this. It's not
Grace.
So while I think that secret ballot is kind of pointless because it's very clear who is going to say yes or no, I do believe in protection of our representatives. However, I do want to reiterate that I think secret ballot is really not so secret.
Dale.
We
Absolutely.
Well, I think it's a good idea sometimes to break rules in order to do things that are necessary. Everything that we have done for the past 3 weeks has been about making it clear what rules everyone is going to play by, how long people are going to have to speak, what type of resolution it's going to be. The things we've decided are not necessarily because those are the right way to do things, but because those are the way that we have told the public that we are going to do them. And we walked into this every single meeting on this resolution. We have had time to amend the bylaws if we wanted to, and every single week we have been here, the bylaws have said that you cannot use secret ballot outside of executive session. That has been a promise that we have all acted upon, in my belief. That is what our governing documents are. And if we wanted to change them, we could have. But now is not the time to change the rules that we are acting on. I don't really think that secret ballot is wrong, but I think it's wrong to be disingenuous to the public and change how we are going to act in the moment.
John. Before we continue again, I'm going to remind members of the community that you can place your votes over here if you are an undergraduate student. Please do so if you have not done so already. Next is Rad.
I completely believe that unisexually leads to social transparency, but why I think today we need to go through secret ballot. Understanding that there's a new bylaw and a new law that comes with transparency throughout this, but I think in recent days, for me, I've received pretty hard instances of aggression from both sides, and so I don't want anyone knowing how I vote. I feel uncomfortable, and so I think that's why we need to change it now, even though we've said to everyone that we want to stay transparent, and that was always one of the intent.
Mike?
Do you have me? Yeah, I would personally prefer a secret ballot before this candidate meeting kind of discussion after you were having, but I think the charter seems to be clear on this issue. Even though you had a secret ballot, the charter was facilitating probably the ability to have this discussion be rather successful with navigating incredibly heated
and complex issue throughout this body, and to overturn the decision that we don't like because we think there should be a special exception in order for us to largely make this a pretty corrupted dialogue.
Savannah?
I think it is absolutely ridiculous that people, family members, have been contacted by various students regarding their views on this issue. I think that the safety of students very clearly outweighs one line in the rule. This is extremely alarming and concerning, and I really struggle by speaking about it. I personally am afraid of what could happen to me if my vote is public, what could happen to other members, what could happen to my family members. There's a reason they voted by secret ballot at different schools, like Columbia. You should vote by secret ballot.
Omar.
I also do want to go back to the point of the bylaws themselves, because I disagree with the contrary interpretation. The bylaws are complex, and they're very long. There is no part of the bylaws that requires standing rules or special rules of order that talk about voting procedure, except in very specific parts. The part that we're talking about right now is Section 5 of Article 4, which deals with executive session as a whole. It outlines how executive session is supposed to be. It talks about how it takes 2/3 to go into executive session, which means that you can't do an executive session. And saying what you can't do is not have a secret ballot. That's what it means when it's saying that secret ballots are being removed from executive sessions. But it's clear that being twisted out of where it is, that being twisted out of the incentives, or the part of the bylaws that it's in, no other part of our government got that you can't use secret ballot. It is never explicitly said that secret ballot can't be used in the assembly outside of executive session. It is saying that when executive session happens, it happens by secret ballot. And when we go back to Robert's rule, which is what's supposed to supersede it, issues of when the Dirty Rock will find out that something, Robert's rule says that voting by ballot, the main object of this voting, is secrecy and is resorted to with a question of such nature that some members might hesitate to vote public with their true sentiments. Clearly, people are being intimidated out of voting their true sentiments. That is what we're doing. If people aren't voting their true sentiments, then our rules are not overrated.
Uche. Not this year, not last year.
I think the year before that. I'm not sure.
I cannot recall an instance by which we voted by secret ballot during a General Assembly meeting. Indigo. That is not a General Assembly meeting.
Neither is executive session.
So, this morning, my mom called me asking why a reporter and employee of the DC City Tape was signed by my vote on Resolution 26. I felt confused and unsafe, and this was only proliferated around half an hour later when I had multiple other members of the assembly. I felt multiple state reporter, and I think it's still, a lot of us have been transparent about our votes. I've tried to be as open as possible with the community members about my perspective on this resolution and how we vote today, but I do think that for all of our safety, it's best that we make this a problem.
Joe.
Throughout this week leading up, I received several emails from people across the issue. Several of those emails stated that if I did not vote one way, I would be outed to my family. For me, that's nothing new. That's something I've dealt with for a long time. Most people on this campus know it, but my parents don't. Whatever, if they're watching, hi mom and dad, what's up? I don't really know at this point. They're probably not watching. They barely know what goes on here. But that's me. And that's why I support secret ballot. I don't know what will happen after this, after saying that. But fundamentally, I support secret ballot because there are members of this assembly that do feel unsafe. And it is my responsibility as an executive committee member to prioritize the safety of my members over everything else. And if we can't do that here, we can't do that anywhere on this campus. and we need to show that this matters here.
Motion to vote on the secret ballot. Is that second?
There's been dissent made.
We moved to close discussion. We now vote on the secret.
Yeah, I think that's the best.
What? Yeah, we just moved to close discussion. Is there a second?
Is there a second?
To close discussion and vote on whether or not we're doing secret ballot.
It's been a second, there's been dissent. We're going to vote on voting.
60%.
So, we need 60%.
Can I say my dissent?
No. Yeah, you can say this dissent.
I want to say my dissent that we are currently having this argument as if this is allowed, but this is clearly not allowed. I want to be having this discussion, but I want us to be aware that this is defined in our law.
That is my dissent.
Yeah. A suspension of the rules is allowed by 2/3 vote.
But we're overruling the interpretation
from the parliamentarian of the rules.
It's
and we can overturn that.
He gives recommendations.
So here's the issue, right? It's a little bit of a BS situation because the parliamentarian can interpret the rules and the argument can be made. One can always make the argument that the interpretation is incorrect so that they could force a majority vote instead of a 2/3 vote, even though in reality a 2/3 vote may sometimes be required. That interpretation could always be made.
It's a majority.
We'll be moving into a vote to vote. All of those in favor of having a secret ballot vote.
No.
But whether or not to end in discussion. Oh.
All those in favor of ending this discussion, please raise your placards about the secret ballot vote. All those against? All those abstaining?
Now we're going to voting.
We'll be moving into voting. Actually, we'll be moving into discussion.
It's closed discussion. We're going to vote now whether or not it's a secret ballot.
That's what I said.
Yeah. I have a point of inquiry.
Yeah.
The chair has ruled that we're about to vote on whether or not to suspend the bylaws. The sponsor of the motion wants his motion to be an overruling of the parliamentarian. Could you allow the sponsor to have the opportunity to overrule you about what type of vote this is?
There you go.
Yeah.
Do that. Motion to overrule the chair.
Yeah. I'll allow it. Okay.
So we'll be voting by majority vote about whether or not we're going to vote by majority or 2/3. I'm out of the side of the
vote. Can the chair decide on what they're about to do, or decide to vote on whether or not to consider ballot and overrule the
I
have a point of information, Chair.
Yeah.
Can you two just spend the
time? Clearly, we have not discussed this enough. I don't know why we're doing this. We're voting for free. We have not agreed on how we want to vote. This is clearly a different bylaw, and I want this discussion.
Yeah, but the conversation
you
ended.
Yes, it did.
It did.
Yes, it did.
We're having conversation.
We had to extend it.
Okay.
The vote was supposed to be at 6:15, yeah. It's been a little longer.
We have to keep going.
Okay, so here's how we will be moving forward. We're just going to pretend that none of those motions happened. And from here, I would entertain a motion to move into a secret ballot vote. This motion would be approved by 50% plus one.
So moved.
Second.
You need a majority to overturn a bylaw interpretation?
It's an interpretation.
Yes, the interpretation. As I said before,
it's not like you're on the assembly next year.
Decorum, please, Joe. That was a little inappropriate.
I'm just so done with that.
Okay. So there's been a motion, there's been a second. All those in favor of moving into a secret ballot, please raise your placards. Please raise them high.
All those against? All those abstaining?
But
by a vote of 14-9-2, we will be voting.
I call for a division of the House.
We are in a vote. No motions in voting.
You're in.
No.
We'll be moving into a secret ballot vote. We'll be passing around the secret ballots. Thank you, Shoshone.
It's voting by standing.
Please pass your ballots down to me.
Yes, no, abstain.
Yes, no, abstain. Representatives, if you could hand it to me, like, personally, so I actually know that you're not double-handing it to me. Here's what it is.
Should we wait for Mariah to get home?
Yeah, but it's Mariah left.
Yeah. Find her, give her a ballot. Okay. Find her, give her a ballot. Yeah, where is she?
I have no idea, but find her.
Okay. So, what does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really sorry.
I agree. No one else is back with me though, so. It just wasn't vocal enough. Yeah.
Make sure you implement it for you. So you know. Don't read them until you make sure you implement it. Because you don't want to. You want to have more. How many do you have?
27.
No, did you write one yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yes.
Oh, so you can't tell right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also, I don't want to see it ever again.
What's the community vote?
Two in favor of that.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 15. Is 14 plus 2, yes, same as 1, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14,
holy fuck,
oh my god,
oh
my god,
explain at the beginning that you were from 4th
block, yeah.
Hello,
everyone. If everyone could quiet down, the votes are in. So before I continue, I'm going to make sure that everyone knows that I voted beforehand. I did not vote to break a tie. I voted beforehand. And with that in mind, the assembly members voted for 13 no, 14 yes, and 1 abstain.
Wait.
And the community voted for 2 votes going to no. This resolution fails by voting 1. Speaker, I have an announcement from the chair of that committee.
Hi everyone, my name is Charlotte, and I'm the convocation chair. So what just happened right now, I want to be respectful of the discourse that happened right now, so I wanted to make everyone aware that we will be postponing the reveal to honor and create a more, like, I guess more safe space. Right now, we hope to bring everyone back together around some food that the committee will be providing, but I ultimately felt that right now is not the time given the emotions in the room.
With that, you are all dismissed.
What's the
You need help with anything? You need any help?
Yeah.
What do you need help with?
I don't know.
Okay. Wow. I have to say, you kept your composure really fucking well. That was impressive.
I don't know. I
you had a lot of... The only ones that I know that spoke are Jay. I would recommend speaking to Jay Surratt about it. To your Jay! So he could probably tell you who spoke from that side, and then you could probably talk to Samer about who spoke on this side. Yeah. Rob!
Turn this off?
like, it was just such a shit show.
I'm just saying, watching the whole time, you put yourself together really
well. How was it not two-thirds?
It should have been. It should have been.
What was the logic to make it not two-thirds?
I just wasn't going to make a scene of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the people that would have been arguing for a majority over two-thirds were the ones that would have been more vocal about anything.
So, when did you win the vote?
Did you have a good handling that you thought was going to happen coming in?
I thought it was going to be close. I said that I didn't know it was going to happen.
No way! Why?
This was such a hard position. Wait, Varun, good man.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for everything. I'm sure it was hard. The last one.
Yeah, to say the least.
Right.
But at least it's over.
Do you feel a little relief?
I'm glad you were wrong. I just talked to Eric Sullivan.
Thank you.
I don't know. It's my choice.
No, Jeff,
you know what, Scott?
I think 4 is cool as well.
You know what, Scott?
If we can get it,
I really
hope. We're in negotiations, we eventually have to fly from Britain.
Wait, what happened?
We don't know. Thank you guys for all your support.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.